Welcome to the Bits and Bumps podcast. Penny Wilson here, and today I need to have a bit of a rant about pregnancy dating. No, I'm not talking about pregnant ladies swiping right or meeting up with strangers for dinner in a movie. I am, of course, talking about gestational age assessment or estimated delivery date determination. So the scenario is this. You see a new patient for the first time and you say, "Hi, Emily, how are you going? I see that your due date is the 23rd of October. And she says, "Well, yeah, I think so, but it's been changed two or three times." I find this incredibly frustrating, but it's a very common scenario. So I want to have a look at how we determine what the due date is in the most accurate way possible, and how to avoid having the scenario of the changing due date. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, "Penny, why do we even care that much about accurately determining the due date? I mean, most of the patients are just going to go along until they're ready to go into labor on their own, and then they're just going to have the baby, right?" And yeah, that is largely true. But there are a few times when it's really important that we have a good idea about what the due date is, because it's clinically relevant to what happens to the patient. So an example would be if they are wanting to have first trimester chromosomal screening, it's important that they get that test done within the time frame, otherwise it becomes too late for them to have an accurate nuchal fold measurement. Or if something terrible happens, like they rupture their membranes or go into early labor around the 23-24 week mark, if a few days difference in the due date then makes a huge difference about how we counsel and how we manage those patients, particularly in terms of resus of the premature infant. And then the common scenario of a patient who goes over their due date, say they're a week or 10 days overdue, and we're talking about inducing their labor. Now, accurate determination of the due date has been shown to reduce the intervention rate in those post-term patients. So we really want to do our best to make sure that we're not doing any unnecessary interventions. So we want to make sure that we've got the best dates possible. Okay, so let's go back to basics and talk about how traditionally the due date was determined. So traditionally, before we had any other technologies available to us, the due date was calculated as 280 days on from the first day of the last menstrual period. Now, this assumes a regular 28-day cycle. It assumes that the ovulation occurs at the midpoint of the cycle and that fertilization occurs on the middle day. It also assumes that the patient can actually remember when their last period was, which for a lot of women can be pretty challenging. Now, the only truly accurate way of determining the due date is through a pregnancy conceived via IVF or assisted reproductive technology. So if you know the exact age of the embryo and the exact date that it's implanted, you have a pretty good idea of when that baby is going to be due. But for everything else, we've got a range of inaccuracy. Now, there's widespread agreement that an early ultrasound measurement of the crown rump length is the most accurate way of predicting the due date compared to clinical estimation via the last menstrual period. Now, before the embryo is actually visible, you can measure the mean sac diameter of the gestational sac, but this is not thought to be a particularly accurate method of calculating the due date because there are so many variables involved. The crown rump length is most accurate between 7 and 60 millimeters of measurement. That's when it has the narrowest confidence interval. Most international guidelines will say that if you can get a good crown rump length between about 10 millimeters and 84 millimeters, so that works out to be between about 7 weeks and 14 weeks, then that's going to be a pretty accurate measurement and you can go by those dates. Obviously, the earlier the scan is, when you can still see that crown rump length, the more accurate the scan will be. After the 14-week mark, the gestational age tends to be based on a combination of measurements of the crown rump length and the biparietal diameter, or the head circumference, and then later on by abdominal circumference and femur length as well, to try and get a combination of measurements to give a more accurate picture of the gestational age. But keep in mind that the later you get on in the pregnancy, the more margin for error you have. So if you can get a scan within the first trimester, you're likely to be accurate within a range of about 5 to 7 days. If you're getting beyond about 14 weeks up until about 20 weeks, you're accurate within about 7 to 10 days. And into late second trimester, you're blowing out to more like 2 weeks. And in the third trimester, it can be higher again, so 2 or 3 weeks. The Australian Antenatal Guidelines, the NICE guidelines, and the ACOG, American Congress of Gynecology guidelines, all say the same thing, that a scan up to 13 plus 6 weeks of pregnancy is the most accurate way of determining the gestational age and estimated due date. The Canadian guidelines go one step further and suggest that an ultrasound scan up to 23 weeks is going to be a reliable gestational age assessment. And there is good evidence to suggest that ultrasounds early on in pregnancy that are universally offered to determine the due date do reduce the risk of intervention for post-dates pregnancy. So we're basically doing less inductions if we offer everyone an early scan for dating. Now, how this is actually applied in principle does vary. The Australasian Society of Ultrasound Medicine, ASUM, says that the earliest measurement of gestational age in pregnancy should be the definitive assessment of gestational age. So if you get an ultrasound in the first trimester, that's your due date. If you get an ultrasound after the first trimester but before 20 weeks and your ultrasound date is within a week of your date based on your last menstrual period, your due date based on your period is within the margin of error of the ultrasound, and so then the ultrasound confirms your period date. So just to say that again, if you've got a scan in the first trimester, you go with the scan dates. If you've got a scan between the first trimester and 20 weeks and it's within a week of your period dates, you go with the period dates. And if it's more than a week difference, you go with the scan dates. Having said that, I've spoken to a few gynecologists and radiology friends who would say that even if they get a reliable ultrasound measurement in the first trimester, if it's within about 5 days, 5 to 7 days of the period, they might just use the period dates because, again, it's within that margin of error. So there's a bit of variation there in practice as to whether people change the due date or whether they stick with the period dates within that 5 to 7 day margin in the first trimester. Now, you don't have to remember all that because I will be putting these numbers up on the blog post and also links to all the guidelines so you can have a look for yourselves. The next question is, what are we going to do if the patient rocks up in late pregnancy, so late second trimester or third trimester, and they haven't had a dating scan or any other scan in this pregnancy so far? How are we going to work out their dates? Now, I would hazard a guess that in this sort of patient, they're not going to have particularly accurate recall of what their last menstrual period is. So unless they are really definitely certain about what their LMP is, usually you just have to make your best guess based on the earliest ultrasound that you can get. Being aware that it can have 2 or 3 weeks inaccuracy, you may need to end up doing serial growth scans for these women to make sure that they don't have babies who are either macrosomic or growth retarded and that you've just not been able to pick that up because you haven't actually got an accurate due date. So beware, they may need further monitoring. Also, because you don't have great confidence around their due date, they may need a little bit of extra monitoring in the third trimester with regards to fetal well-being. But that's something that you'll be generally discussing with a senior obstetric staff member. Okay, so just a summary of the discussion so far is that an ultrasound scan between 8 and 13 plus 6 weeks is going to be your most accurate way of determining the due date, apart from a IVF-dated pregnancy, but that in some places the radiologist might decide to just stick with the period date if it's within about 5 to 7 days in the first trimester, or 7 to 10 days if it's in the second trimester, up till about 20 weeks. Keep in mind that the timing for the first trimester screen, the nuchal fold translucency test, also overlaps with that sort of 11 to 13 plus 6 week mark, so you can do both tests at the same time. So let's move briefly on to a discussion about that changing due date. So the patient who comes in and says, my date was originally this and then it got changed to this. Okay, so first reason might be that they had a date based on their last menstrual period and then they had an appropriate dating scan within the first trimester and the date has been changed for that new based on that new dating scan. So that's appropriate. We'll go with the new date based on the dating scan for that one. What about if they've had a dating scan and they've got a date based on that, and then they have another scan and the date gets changed? Now, this does happen more often than you'd think. I drive myself crazy having to go back through all the reports and trying to figure out why the hell the date's been changed. So one reason might be if the first scan didn't actually see a fetal pole and the estimated due date was based purely on a mean sac diameter. As we said before, the mean sac diameter is not a great way of determining the due date. So in that case, you'll go with the first scan that has a crown rump length on it or a fetal pole visible. So that's an appropriate change of dates. Another very common problem is that either the report from the ultrasound has a typo in it, so it might be that either the radiologist reporting or the typist has just made an error. In that case, you just ring them up and say, can you just check this? This doesn't look right. And they'll send you an amended report. Another reason that you may get discrepancies in your due dates on two different scans is if you've written a request form that has the wrong due date on it for the second scan. So always worth going back and looking at what the request form actually said, because if the radiologist gets the wrong information on the request form, they won't be able to give you the accurate information on the report. Another reason I've heard of that radiologists give for changing the dates on a subsequent scan is if the first scan was done on a transabdominal image and then the subsequent scan was done on a transvaginal. Now, this is an area of grey zone, really, because there is good data that a transabdominal scan is equally good to a transvaginal scan for determining an accurate due date. Clearly, if you've got an early pregnancy that's very small and you're trying to determine viability, the transvaginal is going to be the way to go. But once you can see the fetal pole, they're probably equivalent. So if you've got an early scan, transabdominal or not, that has a date on it with a crown rump length, don't be lured into a change of date in that scenario. So just to summarize, it's okay to change the due date if the first due date was based on the period and the second due date was based on a reliable ultrasound, or if the first scan was a mean sac diameter only and the second scan was a crown rump length on a fetal pole, that's okay. It's not necessary to change the date if the first date was based on a transabdominal scan and the second date was based on a transvaginal scan. In that case, I would go with the first scan. And you definitely don't want to change the date based on a subsequent scan just because the measurements are different. One scenario that I do see from time to time that I find very irritating is when you get a growth scan in the second or third trimester and the growth parameters are reported as a gestational age equivalent. For example, you might have a report that says that based on a previous dating scan, the gestational age of this fetus is 34 weeks, but based on ultrasound measurements today, the gestational age is equivalent to 31 weeks and 5 days. To me, this is a very unhelpful way of reporting growth parameters. Firstly, because sometimes people will go back and recalculate the due date based on the reported gestational size reported in a growth scan. Clearly, the baby has not gone back in time to get younger. It is just small. So that is a very misleading way of reporting a growth scan, and it also doesn't give you any nuance about whether the baby is symmetrically small or whether it's globally small or on the other way it might be bigger than average. So it's much more helpful to have centiles for all the different parameters. So the abdominal circumference, the head circumference, the femur length, how are they compared to the centiles for its predetermined gestational age? I really don't want to see reports that give me an equivalent gestational age based on today's measurements. If you are routinely getting these scans, it's worth having a chat to your radiologist about the way that they report their parameters, because the ASIM does not recommend it being reported in this way. Another practice point is about the use of the quantitative HCG, and sometimes I've seen this used to try and determine how far advanced the pregnancy is. It really should never be used for this indication, as the confidence interval, the normal reference range, is far too wide for any stage of gestation. So don't ever use it to determine dates. You need to use the ultrasound measurements or the clinical period dates if that's the best that you've got. Okay, so I think we've covered the main points there. So what can you do as practitioners to make sure that your patients have the most accurate due dates possible and that they have the least risk of requiring unnecessary interventions? First of all, be careful with request forms. Make sure that you put accurate information on there to your radiologist so they can give you good data back. Second of all, if you do get discrepancies in dates based on two different ultrasounds, have a look at why, make sure there's not a typo, and make sure that if there is a change of date, you ask your radiologist really careful questions about why they did that. And if it's not a good reason, go back to your first date. There really is very little reason that due date should be changed after a good quality early ultrasound measurement. And don't use the HCG for anything to do with dating ever. All right, people, I hope you found that useful. I've certainly found it cathartic to get some of that off my chest. And I'll be putting all the references and resources up on the blog post. If you've got any questions or comments, feel free to comment on the blog or tweet us at Bits and Bumps. And we'll talk to you again next time. Bye for now.